And again, a pleasant good afternoon to you. It is 26 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. This is AM 1480 KAUS and streaming worldwide on myaustinminnesota.com and on the iHeartRadio and radio.com apps. And our fourth and final Meet the Candidates forum here for today. As mentioned, Austin City Council kicking things off today. We'll have candidates in tomorrow, Tuesday, for the Moore County Board of Commissioners and also, tomorrow it's Austin School Board and also the candidates for the position of sheriff in Moore County. And then on Wednesday, we will have Moore County Board of Commissioner candidates and also those for State District 23B and Senate in District 23B. But glad to be joined here today by candidates in the third ward for the city of Austin, incumbent Joyce Bashusta and Ronald A. Kelly. Good enough to be with us here today. And a good afternoon to you both.
Good afternoon. Good to be with you.
Thanks you so much for being with us here today. And Councilwoman Bashusta, we'll let you give an opening statement here first.
All right. Well, I'm Joyce Bashusta, and I'm running for my second term, really because I care too much about Austin not to run. I've learned a lot in the last few years on council, too numerous to mention, but a few of the highlights were navigating through a pandemic. These were unprecedented times for everybody, and we as a council came together through social distancing. We made it work. We had to make a lot of tough decisions, and I'm super proud of how we handled all of that and how we continue to handle obstacles. It's been a time of challenge, flexibility, growth, and we've successfully weathered many unknowns. A few of the highlights of the last 4 years are implementing a long overdue comp and class study. It was a very, very involved process. That involved a lot of hours and research. We also added on many new businesses and corporations to our community, as well as additional housing. And the tax abatement program was renewed. I have lived in Austin for over 20 years. I'm not great at statistics. I'm not a politician, but I'm real and I'm passionate. And I am just here for our citizens.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Bashusta. Mr. Kelly, your opening statement this afternoon, please.
Yeah, my name is Ron Kelly. I was born and raised in Austin, grew up in Austin, and have found Austin to be my home through the years. Even when we didn't live here, my parents lived here. And so I've had a great deal of concern for Austin and for the citizens living here. Now, I haven't been on the council, so I'm not aware of all of the different aspects of what the council has been doing, but I do know that I see a country that's in trouble, and we see problems with the economy, and we see things that can hamper the ability of communities to be able to keep up with the needs of citizens. I do believe that it is the citizens that we seek to serve. Government serves its citizens. It does not serve itself. And having been in the ministry for probably about 30 years, I've learned how to serve other people. That's been one of my primary purposes in life. And so running for the city council to me is bringing traditional American values back into our communities, because without those foundations being firmly planted, nothing else can stand on top of it. Everything else will collapse and fall apart. And so I'm here to champion the needs of individuals within our community, to helping them in whatever ways we can to see their dreams come true, to champion the needs of parents to raise their own children, to help them have their own morals and values, to obtain an education that will lead them into being a productive person in society, to champion small businesses, to try to look to the chamber and work with them to try to keep taxes down and the regulations down so businesses can not only survive but flourish, and to provide also safety for all of the citizens of the community by fully supporting our law enforcement. And so I decided that it was time, having helped two other people that I know get elected 2 years ago, to jump into this race, because I think at the local level is the place where we really need to reestablish these traditional American values.
All right. Mr. Kelly, staying with you for the first question here. We'll talk about business development. The city of Austin currently offers a number of incentives to bring new businesses here to the city. Among those, tax adjustments, tax abatements, the tax abatement program that was just reapproved, potential reduction of the cost of land, as well as bonds and loans. Are these current measures enough to keep Austin competitive to new businesses? And if not, what more could the city do?
Well, it sounds like there's a lot being done, which is good. I think we need to make sure we stay in touch with the individual business owners. We don't only want to attract new businesses. We want to make sure that existing businesses can remain functional. And so I've talked with the chamber here, the head of the chamber, about current situation, and they were talking about the fact that there was going to be a request for a 7% increase in taxes, and I told them that I would want to work closely with them to attend their meetings to find out what the issues that businesses are facing, whether that or not taxes need to be reduced, regulations reduced. What do we need to do to help businesses be able to survive, to bring in more people to work, to expand other businesses, to help programs of education where young people are not only taught you know, the basics, but also a trade. How can you benefit the community in these areas where jobs are already available? It's just that nobody's trained to be able to do them, and we see that all over the place. And so I would want to work to help continue to grow small businesses and new businesses in the community.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Kelly. Councilwoman Pashusta, same question to you. The city of Austin currently offers a number of incentives to bring new businesses to the city, among them tax adjustments, tax abatements, potential reduction in the cost of land, as well as bonds and loans. Are these current measures enough to keep Austin competitive to new businesses? And if not, what more could the city do?
I think what we as a city have to do is in crisis before we can continue to attract new businesses, and we also do have to support and help retain the businesses that we do have. As far as attracting new businesses, fiscal incentives are always good, including cash grants, rebates, tax credits. We need to reach out and provide we need to just get out there and mm-hmm. and provide companies with good, concise information about our economic performance and our diversity. We have a large diverse population here, and any other data that might be attractive to any interested parties. We need to make sure that we diversify our businesses so that we're not stuck in one area, so that we have a wide variety of businesses here in town, not just manufacturing or banking. We've got a tourist attraction here. We need to kind of bank on that. And then we need to make sure that we have labor availability for new businesses that are considering coming to town. Maybe look at collaborating with the Workforce Center to provide, you know, details on our workforce and ensuring that our quality of life here, our park systems and everything are still maintained to attract everybody.
All right. Ms. Pashusta, we'll stay with you for the next question here. And you kind of touched on a little bit housing, and this is kind of a longer question. But in April this year, a consulting company presented the city its findings concerning the improvement and expansion of Austin's housing supply. And those findings indicated the city had made progress increasing housing options overall in the recent years, adding about 80 to 90 units per year, but also concluded that there's been relatively little single family new home construction for several decades here in Austin, and that many of the current older single family homes in Austin are in need of major replacement or repair. And at this type of housing represents over 70% of all available housing here in Austin. Is there anything the city should be doing to address any housing issues these next few years? And if so, what should those changes be?
There's a lot.
Yeah,
that a lot. We need
yeah.
to be doing.
Yeah.
We just have to figure out how to tackle this housing issue. Without solving the housing issue, we can't grow. We can't grow business wise. Some ideas I have are, of course, continuing the tax abatement program. We just extended it. It's been a success. I think it's resulted in over 71 new tax abated houses. We need to look at what we're doing wrong. What more can we do to attract developers? Do we need to come up with new incentives? We need spec houses, and we need so that people coming to Austin have turnkey options available to them, mm-hmm. So that they don't end up living in other communities. And we need to really form a better partnership with the Housing and Redevelopment Authority. That's a big part of their job there. So partnering better with them and preserving our existing housing. We've got a good housing stock. We need to do what we can to maintain this stock, continue to offer the fix-up loans at low interest, incentive loans. I think we need to get some of the landlords involved in some of these low interest loans that haven't been offered to them. And we need to evaluate obstacles that could possibly be limiting us, like our zoning codes or variances, reduce or waive fees for developers wanting to come to town.
Okay.
And then lastly, I do want to mention that one of the big things I've thought about most recently is I would like to see us develop a housing commission, because this is such a huge problem everywhere, not just in Austin. So I think if we developed a housing commission that would do a lot of the homework for us and come up with ideas would be a great addition to the council.
Sure. Well, thank you for that. Mr. Kelly, same question to you here today. Many current older single family homes in Austin in need of major replacement or major repairs. And as this type of housing represents well over 70% of all the available housing here in Austin, is there anything the city should be doing to address any housing issues in the next few years? And if so, what should those changes be in your view?
Well, many of the things that have been mentioned by the previous guests here are good. I mean, we definitely do need to expand housing. I think that there are things that can be done in the area, not only of tax relief and opening up new areas to be developed, would be to get just citizens from within the community involved in helping to fix up homes, to have volunteers. I work with many of the churches here in the community, and I've found them very willing to help serve the community by when they see a problem in terms of houses that need repairs or things. I think we could get volunteers from within the community to help restore and improve our community, improve the looks of property. I know that a lot of property owners are concerned about the properties near them that are derelict, that are in bad condition, and why would anybody want to come in here to live, or their property value is going down. And so we need to definitely get around and see how we can help improve the existing housing, and then also look for ways to encourage new housing development, which is desperately needed if you want people to live in the same place that they work. And so I'm in favor of all the above.
Sure. All right, Mr. Kelly, we'll stay with you here, and you kind of touched on this. We did receive a few listener questions about what the city is able to do, if anything, about rundown and derelict properties in different parts of the city. What role do you see the city council playing in improving the existing private housing in Austin?
Yeah, in going out and talking with people in the community, and I went to over 2,000 homes over the past 4 months just to talk with people, and one of the concerns was derelict property not being kept up, and lowering the value of homes near those properties. Again, I think there's things that could be done just from people within the community. I know that there are people in churches that would be glad to step up and help people restore their homes, and so. Mm-hmm. Providing adequate reductions in regulations, I think, would be important. There's so many things that government does that actually inhibits or prohibits things from being done that could be done, and we definitely need to look at those and review those and see what changes we could make that would help encourage more development in Austin in terms of housing.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Kelly. And Ms. Bashuta, same question to you. We did receive a few listener questions concerning what the city is able to do, if anything, about rundown and derelict properties in different parts of the city. What role do you see the council playing in improving the existing private housing in Austin?
I think the most important thing is don't wait until they're run down or derelict. I think that, again, partnering with the Housing and Redevelopment Authority, we've got some great inspection programs going right now for both rental and homeowners. We need to keep those up and do what we can to keep those employees on board and to support them so that they can keep a close eye on these properties without them getting out of hand. Again, the low interest loans, and looking at creating maybe additional loans if we need to. Again, the housing commission that I would like to develop, mm-hmm. I think could spearhead some efforts in these areas. And we need to encourage neighbors to report any property issues that they see with their neighbors. I know that's difficult, and I would like to see maybe a confidential hotline or something developed as well for a website where they can go on and report things so that sure. they're comfortable doing that.
Okay. Staying with you, Councilwoman Bashuta, concerning internet access here in Austin, as of the latest U.S. Census in 2020, 80% of Austin residents reported having access to the internet in their homes. This was just below the national average of 85% of the time. And what role could the city play in increasing household access to internet, if any? Obviously, you know, sometimes we see that at the federal or state level, but I guess what role could the city play in increasing household access to internet, if any?
You know, that's a surprise. I haven't heard that statistic before, 80% having them. And that sounds like not a terrible number, but when you look at it realistically, that's over 5,000 people in Austin that don't have internet. Mm-hmm. Right now, I think all of our school age, or most of them, I'm not sure exactly what age it starts, they all have tablets that they do their homework on and all of their work, I believe. So we need to do whatever we can to make sure that people are having some kind of internet access. We have the hotspots through the library that was just expanded. I'm really glad that we just approved a library technician who will help with that program and getting the additional hotspots going and being able to maintain them. If we need to look at upping that program, I think we need to work closely with the schools as well to make sure that the children, just to see what ideas maybe the school has. You know, and it's sad that nowadays internet used to be kind of a luxury and now it's a necessity. Mm-hmm. So we need to do whatever we can to make sure that people have access, not just for school, but for jobs. It's just needed in every area of life.
Yeah. Okay, thank you for that. And Mr. Kelly, same question to you. Again, as of the latest U.S. Census in 2020, 80% of Austin residents reported having access to the internet in their homes. This is just below the national average of 85% at that time. What role do you see the city playing in increased household access to the internet, if any?
Well, I believe that the capitalistic approach where we allow private companies to compete with one another to gain advantages in different ways, we definitely need to encourage that, because I'm sure that 80% of what people are getting is from private companies. However, there are oftentimes needs for people who are of low income to be able to have access to those types of things. Schools especially, and the library, as has been mentioned, need to have that type of access to the internet, and so that people who can't get it at their homes have places where they can go to get that kind of access. But I would just encourage companies in the area to get out and to seek to make things more available at a more reasonable price for people who don't have those things already.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Kelly, and staying with you here for this next question, and concerning possible body cams for the Austin Police Department. The department has been exploring the feasibility of using funding to implement body cams to the tune of $200,000 to be worn by officers, but the cost of such a system would be $150,000 or more up front and $80,000 to $100,000 per year going forward. Do you think the current capital improvement budget allocated to the police department is adequate, and if not, what other funding options would you like to see the city explore if you're elected?
Were you with me?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
From my understanding, body cams can be fairly expensive. I've talked with the chief of police, and we talked about that a lot of the money that they receive is primarily to pay for officers, for the people who patrol our streets and keep us safe. And I do realize that body cams in certain situations, like in big cities where there's a lot of crime, that body cams can play a very useful element to those kind of situations. I think we would need to look closely in terms of how much we could afford right now. I've talked to people who say that their taxes are going up so fast. I've had people say that the last tax proposal, real estate tax for supplying the city with money, cost him 45% increase in his real estate tax. How many years in a row can you have that happen and a person not be forced out of their own home because they can't pay their taxes? And so I think we need to be really concerned about spending more money that we don't have, especially in an economy where inflation is soaring and prices are soaring, and yet people on fixed incomes only see their increase maybe 2 or 3%. And so we can't expect to keep being able to tax people more and more and more to pay for a lot of different things. I think at this point in time, that's something that should be looked at in a long-term process, but to realize that we've got to remain within our budget. We can't expect people to pay for something with money that they don't have.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Kelly. And Ms. Bashusta, same question to you. Again, the Austin Police Department exploring the feasibility of using funding to the tune of about $200,000 to implement body cams to be worn by officers. But as we just said, the cost of the system can be $150,000 or more up front and $80,000 to $100,000 per year going forward. Is the current capital improvement budget allocated to the department adequate, do you think? And if not, are there other funding options that you'd like to see the city explore?
I definitely think the body cams are necessary in today's day and age. I fully rely on our chief of police. He is the master of research. He comes up with statistics and pages of information. So if the chief feels that we need body cams, then we need body cams. Mm-hmm. He doesn't ask for anything unnecessarily. I do believe that we did put the body cams in our budget for 2024, if I recall correctly. I'm not sure how we would get additional funding. I mean, state bonding, we know, fell through for us. There are other areas that I would like to see just in public safety, if I can just kind of speak broadly on that topic.
Sure.
We need to allocate more resources towards mental health to reduce some of the load of our police department. They're responding to a lot of mental health issues. So I would like to see some kind of collaboration with some mental health professionals to provide interventions like maybe a mobile crisis team or something. And another problem that we're having is our applicant pools have really dropped for our police department, and that concerns mm-hmm. me a lot. We need to look at what we're doing wrong or what we need to improve there. Our neighborhood watch groups are building, and I like that. And we just need to continue to build sustainable funding to support any and all needs of public safety.
Sure. All right. One final question here, and Ms. Bashusta will stay with you. The concerns of the wastewater treatment plant here in Austin. 2 months ago, the council unanimously approving a construction bid of $105 million to repair and improve the city's wastewater treatment plant. And this funding will be accomplished through an increase of sewer fees through 2026. And the city estimates that fees will have nearly doubled by the time all increases are in place to $65 per month per user. In your opinion, was this project funded properly and moving forward? Are there any adjustments that you could see the city making to this project, if any?
I don't think a day has gone by in the last 4 years that we haven't talked about the wastewater treatment plant. we're all very exhausted from it. It's been a very long process, and kudos to our engineers. They really have worked hard on this process and given us such great presentations. This never was a should we project. It's a we have to project. Mm-hmm. And if we needed to absorb the cost, we had to do it. I mean, this facility is so old, and as everybody knows, without water, without clean water, we're not going to survive as a city. There's just no way. So unfortunately, the bonding bill failed us. I think we need better representation at the state level to advocate for us, mm-hmm. for our needs, such mm-hmm. as the wastewater treatment plant.
All right. Thank you for that, Joyce. Mr. Kelly, same question to you. A couple months ago, the city council approving a construction bid of $105 million to repair and approve the city's wastewater treatment plant. Again, this funding will be accomplished through an increase of sewer fees through the year 2026, and the city estimates those fees will have nearly doubled by the time all the increases are in place to about $65 a month per user. And in your opinion, was this project funded properly? And going forward, if you're elected, what adjustments should the city make to this project, if any, in your view?
Well, I think that having a budget is fine. I looked over the five-year budget for the council, and yet you have to take into account how drastic our economy has changed just in the last 2 years. Hopefully that will change, and we'll have a government that's more responsive to the needs of people, because we definitely need to see some things done with the surplus money that's up in the cities. And unfortunately, sometimes government doesn't put money where it's needed the most. And so hopefully the government up there will be able to function and get some of those that money sent out to communities where those needs are mm-hmm. greatly needed. And certainly, I think evaluating sewage treatment plant year by year, I mean, we can have a plan, you can have a budget and an idea, but until we can get inflation under control, until we can help improve the lives of the individuals who are paying these bills, because we're either going to have to expand our employers and employees mm-hmm. in our community if we expect to see more money available for a lot of the things that need to be done, which means we've got to encourage new business. We've got to encourage lower taxes, lower regulations, anything that we can do to encourage companies to hire more people trained so that they can fill jobs that are needed right now. I mean, I looked up online one day, I said, how many jobs are available in Austin? There was over 1,000 jobs available in Austin. Well, why aren't people taking those jobs? If we had those jobs filled, we'd be taking in more taxes from those people who were working. And so I think that this is a broad, across the playing field type of a problem that we need to look at. And that's what I would hope to do if I'm on the city council.
Okay. Well, I've reached the point of closing statements here for this Meet the Candidates forum, our fourth of the day here. And Mr. Kelly, we'll ask for your closing comments here this afternoon.
Yes. I love our community. I think that the traditional values need to be brought back into play in our communities. In too many places, the fundamentals of life are not being taught. We're trying to replace our whole social structure. It seems like Marxism and pronouns and just all kinds of different things that are just a bunch of nonsense are taking the place of what we need to get done. If young people, I mean, these problems are not going to be solved overnight. We need to be developing the lives of young people who are mentally capable, who are well-trained, who have been well-versed, not only in the fundamentals of reading, writing, math, science, but also in trade areas, technical areas. We need to get programs set up to where young people can get some of that training while they're still in high school. I mean, these things just cannot be put off for years and years to come. We've got to get started now if we're going to see improvement in the long term.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Kelly. Ms. Bashusta, your closing statement for us this afternoon, please.
So, and I understand where Ron's coming from with some of that, but I do have to say that, you know, I'm a Christian myself, but a lot of what he just said in his closing statement really has to do with the church. And I think that, you know, raising our youth, I'm a youth group leader, and some of the things, the church needs to get more involved in that. It's very difficult as a city to get involved in things like that. But as a council person, I am always committed to listening and assessing every side of every situation before I make any decision. I do a lot of talking. I do a lot of meeting with people. I research, and I always make a decision based on what's best for Austin as a whole, everybody. Some people may, you know, it's kind of a love-hate thing sometimes, but I will always encourage people to reach out to me. I always try to get back to them. I think that our local government needs to be more transparent. We need to be more welcoming to comments and concerns and ideas from people that do appear at council or reach out to us. So with that, I just wish everybody luck in the upcoming elections, and everybody get out there and vote.
Yeah, very much so. Well, thank you both so much for being with us here this afternoon on AIM 1480 KUS. Joyce Bashusta, incumbent in the third ward for the Austin City Council, and Ron Kelly as well. Again, thank you both for being with us. A lot of great information from you both. Thank you both. And again, as Joyce was mentioning and we echoed before, again, if you haven't done so already, please exercise your constitutional right and get out and vote if you haven't already done so on November the 8th.